If you would take out your message notes from last week, we started a new short series. And if you would take up your Bibles, and those of you who are with us in the live stream, there are some message notes that you can download if you haven't done so already. We're looking at five steps to navigating loss. When we think of loss, it's like Job going home to be with the Lord. But this is also considering things like a loss of a job, the loss of a fiance, the loss of your marriage. We're looking at how our Heavenly Father has planned things out so that we can get through these seasons of loss and grief in such a way as to be able to handle these things well. And as if you're not going through a season of loss right now, that's good. But at like seasons, we're in springtime, summer's coming. After summer, we're going to have fall, and then comes winter again. And likewise, we're going to go through those seasons. So it's a good thing to listen and to take notes. Therefore, we can prepare ourselves far in advance, maybe, to be able to handle these difficult times in our lives. And our Lord has a really great way to do that. So if you look at page one of your notes, you'll recall that the first step that we are to take out of the five is to help these people that are bearing some sort of grief to release that grief. And we talked about how tragedy always produces an emotion. Sometimes it's a very difficult emotion, such as anger, or we may find ourselves in fear or depression, or we can also find some of ourselves, as I shared last week concerning my own experience in all these years that I've been alive and gone through these various seasons over the course of that time of feeling guilty. If you look on page two of your notes, we began to look at the second step, encourage them to receive help from others. Encourage those who are in this loss, in this grief, to receive help from others. Would you say that aloud with me? Encourage them to receive help from others. Now I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that. But I want you to look back up just above that second step at Psalm 62:8. As we think about helping people out of their grief so that we can move into receiving help from others, the Lord's psalmist tells us here, he says, trust in him. He tells us to trust in the Lord at all times, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of your job, the loss of your home, whatever it may be, he is calling us to look to the one who will give us that strength and that comfort for those who are in the midst of this grief. If you go up just a little bit further from there, you'll remember what Jesus told us in Matthew's gospel in chapter 5, verse 4. He said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Now, when we think about that, how can I feel happy, which Makarios is telling us, the word blessed, how can I be happy in the midst of my grief? Well, he says, for they shall be comforted. And who will we be comforted by first and foremost? It will be the Lord Jesus himself. What a grand thing to have this Son of God actually come beside us in these times of loss. So encourage them to receive help from others. It is human to want to pull away from others when we are hurting, It's natural. But we need to do just the opposite. Just the exact opposite. To be alone in your grief, to decide, I'm going to stay away from the church family. I'm not going to go back to church for weeks on end. I'm just going to stay home. That's not healthy for you. It's kind of like when I'm barbecuing and I put the bricks out there and light them on fire. Now, after a while, all the bricks are real white, but this one brick that fell off the top and rolled off to the side, it's still dark. It's still dark. It hasn't been ignited in the fire. It doesn't know the warmth of the rest of the barbecue. We need each other, family. To stay away is not what our Lord would ask of us. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, this letter that the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to all the churches in the Galatian region, he tells them there, bear one another's burdens. In the Greek, he's saying bear heavy or oppressive weights. Come alongside these other people and help them with this grief that they're bearing, this oppressive weight that they presently have. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love one another. To love one another. He said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you. Can you say that with me? To love one another. To love one another. That is the law of Christ. That's what he wants us to do. This is a demonstration of bearing other person's burdens by coming alongside and saying, I'm here for you if you want me. I'm here if you need me. I will seek your best, your greatest, your highest good at my expense. I'm here for you. The fact is, and here's your fill-in, when people go through seasons of loss, they need the support and perspective of others. We've all gone through losses. Some of us have gone through the same similar loss. When I mentioned some of mine in 2 weeks ago, such as my mom. My mom went home to be with the Lord last year. Miss her a lot. Your mom went home. Some of your moms have gone home. My dad went home to be with the Lord in 1986. And some of your dads have gone home. Kelly's and my other brother, he went home to be with the Lord. Maybe one of your siblings have gone home to be with the Lord. Friends of mine, when I was a cop, have been killed. Some of your friends who are law enforcement officers have died too. We've all been through some of these things. Therefore, we can come alongside a brother, a sister in the Lord. We can come alongside a total stranger and make ourselves available to them to be our Lord's grace, our Lord's favor, our Lord's kindness in the life of this person who is presently going through grief. It's hard to see the whole picture when pain narrows that person's focus who's going through this grief. It's really hard to see the whole picture. I know that for myself, for a couple of decades coming home from the Vietnam War, I bore survivor's guilt. Why did I come home? And why didn't Bill and why didn't Fred and why didn't Lieutenant Pfaff and why didn't, and I could go on and on. Why me? We went to the Price's house for dinner many, many months ago. Hi, Price's. Hope to see you in church soon. Ed has a lithograph. Had a lithograph. He gave it to me. Because I was telling about a story when we first moved out to the Santa Clarita Valley. I was walking through this mall that was new to me, and there was this store, and they were selling photographs. And right in the front window is this lithograph of a young businessman. He doesn't have on his business coat. He's wearing a vest and his long sleeve shirt, and he's got his hand up on the wall. It happens to be the wall that was created as the Vietnam Memorial. On that wall are over 58,000 names of my contemporaries. 16-year-old, a few 17-year-olds, lots of 18-year-olds, lots and lots of 19-year-olds. We were kids when we went off the war. But he's leaning against that wall with all those names on it, and he's looking down towards his feet where he's got his briefcase, and you can tell he's in tears. In the wall, you have as though four or five soldiers whose names are on the wall, and they're approaching him, and one is already there, and he's got his hand up on the wall, like inside coming up, and both of their hands are like this. And the thought is, it's okay. It's okay. You got to go home. We didn't. It's okay. And it took the longest time for me to get to the point to say, it's okay. Why me? Why aren't I on that wall? Well, in the course of time, the Lord would reveal to me a number of things. First and foremost, if my name was on that wall, I'd be dead and in hell today. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't even want to know the Lord. I like sin. On top of that, had I died there, I never would have met Kathy. We never would have had three children that have touched the lives of all kinds of other people. I wouldn't have the seven grandchildren I have and get to enjoy. I wouldn't have been a police officer and continued to protect and to serve all those years before I would get hurt on the job. I wouldn't receive the calling to become a shepherd and to be your shepherd for 37 years. I wouldn't have had the opportunity to pour my life into some of yours and so many of yours being poured into my life. I wouldn't have gotten to see my brother come to faith. I wouldn't have gotten to see my brother come and start worshiping with us when he retired. I would have never gotten to know Vicky, and just a couple years she gave her life to Christ too. See, your perspective changes with time, as you spend time, as I told you about two counselors last week. These men spoke into my life. They took my focus off of me. They show me, as to the Lord had a better plan than to simply be a young kid that went off to war and fought for this country and passed away. I cannot provide all the support and the perspective for all of you who make up our church family. Kathy can't provide all the support that you ladies need and to help you with different perspectives. But all of you, speaking to you in the live stream, we need each other. We need to come alongside one another and to be His strength in you for us, coming alongside and walking us through this life, especially in those seasons of loss. Some of you have lost kids. Some of you have had a son murdered. You can come alongside the mom whose son is lost or is killed. You see, we're here for one another, and He's going to use us to be blessings, His blessing, in the lives of others who are going through these seasons of grief. So that's why it's important. People need to be involved when COVID is farther away, in small groups, before we face these periods of loss and grief, that you've already built the bridges with the people in the small group. You're not just a name. You're not just a number. You are a brother. You are a sister. You are loved and cared for, and these people will be there to surround you and to see you through to the end of this time, of this season of grief. Your action step here, family, and your fill-in. When COVID-19 has departed, join a Supper Six. We will begin the Supper Six when we feel it's safe for everybody. We will begin these things. Join one when you have that opportunity to get to know these folks. Some of them are great cooks. Some of them are lousy. Now's the time to find that out. When they invite you out for dinner. When COVID-19 is departed, join a Supper Six. It will help, as well as join our men's Bible study, men. You know, they meet early in the morning. Well, I only have that. Stop it. Stop the excuses. Come and meet the men that meet in the men's group. These are men you'll want to meet. They're good men. Good men. You'll like it. Or join one of the ladies' groups, and the ladies don't seem to have problems with that. But faithfulness to the Bible studies, family. Faithfulness. Don't come once or twice. Don't come once and then come many, many weeks later. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sisters getting sisters. I'm talking about brothers getting brothers, real brothers, people that really care about one another. And in the Supper Sixes, you know, it's not just for couples, it's for single folks as well. It's just getting to know people that will love you and care for you. It is much easier to develop these relational bridges before the loss happens. You'll be less apt to want to build the bridge. You'll want to be separating yourself away. When other people, they don't have to say a word to you. Oftentimes, when I'm asked to come into someone's home where there's grief, I just listen. I just listen. Often won't say anything at all unless they ask me specifically, what does the Lord have to say about that? How do you feel about that? So I encourage you to encourage one another to receive help from others when you go through a troubling season. And then make yourself available to deliver them out of their grief. Step number three. Step number three, show them how to fight against bitterness. Oh, that bitterness. And I watch people and my heart goes out to them, but those are usually not times when I keep quiet. Then I will open up because their bitterness, you see, it's like they're going around with this cup of poison. But you see, they drink it thinking the other person that they're bitter against is going to die. Their lives become miserable. The fact is this, we will always be hurt by other people, intentionally and unintentionally. There is no getting around it. But when we allow bitterness to build up in our lives, we are only hurting ourselves, making us miserable. You know that's true, right? So some of us just need to be, we need to be knocked out of that state. We have this state of bitterness. And we need someone to, you know, not necessarily hit you on the face, but to, you know, I actually saw this done. This person was all into themselves and mad, and the other person turned around because they were drinking what was left of a glass of water and put it in their face. And you know what happened? That person immediately stopped what they were doing in terms of being angry. What was that about? What was that for? Because you're ripping yourself apart. I can't stand here as someone who loves you, let you continue to do this to yourself. Our Heavenly Father does not want you to be bitter. You're trying to hurt someone who isn't here. You're dredging someone up from the past to continue to hurt you. You're giving them permission to hurt you. Why are you doing that? Well, no good reason. No good reason. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, I'm pulling a principle from this passage. The writer says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace, that is the help of God. You're in a whatever kind of a season, don't fail to go to your Heavenly Father. He says here, that no root of bitterness spring up. Don't allow this root of bitterness to spring up and cause trouble, and by it many become defiled. Because when I've seen it in my I won't obviously use anybody here in initials like I do at times, you know, but then I just give your whole name. But I'll just talk about myself. And with regard to bitterness, Kathy has nothing to do with what has caused this bitterness in me. But I'm going to get mad at her. Why? It might be easier, yeah. But it makes no sense. Why am I going to hurt her? She has nothing to do with it. Why do I bring it up and throw it in her face and make her miserable? And then maybe because I did that, you know, when the kids were younger, they do something that has nothing to do with dad's bitterness and has nothing to do with hurt feelings with Kathy. But now my bitterness is going to get thrown in their face. Someone's going to get grounded for 5 days instead of the 3 because dad was bitter. We have to be sensitive to fight against this bitterness because it's very liberating to let it go. To let it go. Because it doesn't help us. And it does nothing for the person that we're bitter about. This word for bitterness here in Hebrews is pekria, and it means highly offensive to God and all good people. This root of bitterness is highly offensive to our Heavenly Father and the other good people sitting around you, and is likely to be hurtful to the people sitting around you. So we need to fight against bitterness. That's our third step. Looking at your notes, this is why it's so important to help people be honest about the bitterness in their lives. And how do we do that? Action step number one. First, we teach them to accept what cannot be changed. We teach them what can't be changed. Those two counselors, Ron, all your buddies that died, they're dead. There's nothing more that can be said or done about that. You can't. You need to accept what you cannot change. Faith is not ignoring the difficulties in our lives. Faith is refusing to be discouraged by those realities. So we teach them to accept what cannot be changed, and faith is not ignoring the difficulties in our lives. Faith is refusing to be discouraged by the reality. Second of all, we help them look at what is left rather than what is left. What? Exactly. Got your attention. We need to look at what is left rather than what's left. For example, we have our kids coming home from Afghanistan. These IEDs have been terrible, taken a terrible toll on our kids. So at Walter Reed Army Hospital, you've got one returned soldier, and he's sitting there, and his left foot has been amputated because of the wounds that he received. But he's got a right foot, and he's got two legs, and he's got two arms and two hands, and he's got his head and his face. They all look normal. His brother in the next bed, he has no legs, he has no arms, and he is so disfigured, you wouldn't really know he was a human being. You want to look at what you have and the way things could have been. You were saved from that. I encourage you to make a list of 100 things you are grateful for. Now, some of you are thinking, 100, I am not going to sit down and do this, Ron. I want to restate that. I want to encourage you strongly to get out a pad of paper or get out your computer and to write out 100 things that you're grateful for, because it does marvelous things in your attitude. It does wonderful things in the way that you're thinking. It really does great things. I mean, some of you right now, maybe you're in a bad place. You have a bad attitude about something. You're really ticked. I talked about bitterness because you feel comfortable there, but miserable. And you kind of like being miserable because you've gotten so comfortable there. And I want to move you from there. He wants to move you from there because that's not where he wants us to dwell. So I can't think of 100 things you're thinking. Sure you can. I got saved. The likes of me was saved by the Lord Jesus Christ because I had a great mom who came to faith while I was in the military for those 4 years. And she was praying for me. And when I got home, she forced me to go to church if I wanted to live at home until I could get my own place. And everything was too expensive. So I just worked and went to school and stayed at home and got saved because I heard the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. I got to become a police officer. My heart's dream. I got to go to college. I got to go to 2 colleges and 2 universities. I got to go to seminary. I got to meet Kathy Nelson. I got to have 3 kids, 2 beautiful daughters and a handsome son. I have 7 grandkids. You know, you start adding these things up. These are things that I'm grateful for. You know, I'm grateful for you too, Kelly. I'm grateful for you. Really grateful for Vicky, but that's why I'm grateful for you. You know, I'm grateful for each and every one of you. And what's happened here? I was talking about some sad things, but what's on the face now? It's a smile. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Look at your notes. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. So I want you every day this week. I'm serious. The hundred things to be grateful for. And I want you every day, maybe in the morning, to get up and 7 times say what I've written there for you. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. Say that with me. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. A person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. And Tanner, a person cannot be grateful and depressed at the same time. He's got on a mask. I can't tell what he's doing. And he knows pastor is dangerous. So, you got your homework there. So fight against bitterness. And I encourage you to receive help from people when you're in the valley of this season of grief. And let's help these people get out of their grief. Get it? Good. Because I save the last 2 steps for next Sunday because we have the joy of being able to come to the Lord's table this morning. So let's pray and thank the Lord for his message this morning. Lord Jesus, we know that your love for us is so magnificent. It's unconditional. And it's supernatural. It is a love that can't dissipate. We just are so very, very blessed to be your brothers, to be your sisters. And Abba, the joy of knowing that if we're in a time of mourning, that you want to be let in. You want to come alongside. You want to hold us tight. You want us to know the warmth of your tenderness and your care and your compassion and this enormous love I just thanked you for a moment ago. And the Holy Spirit, He is there constantly to bring help and encouragement and to place optimism in our thinking as He reminds us of Scripture, such as be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, and that I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, and that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me and gave Himself up for me, and that I am not an undercomer, but I am an overcomer, not because of me, but because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, thank you for teaching us this morning. Thank you for moving in our lives, each of our lives, in different ways, because we have all come from a different place, and yet we all go through similar seasons. So thank you for being the author of seasons, and to be our loving, loving God through it all. For I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.